It's a privilege for Linda and I to be here today to share with you in the absence of our good friend Edwin and Joan, our friends Edwin and Joan. So let's get right into the Word, and I just want to use as a kind of a springboard today, Psalm 103. And you could turn there in your Bibles if you brought your Bible, or one of the pew Bibles if you wish. And I just want to read as kind of a preparation for, I'm going to do what they taught us not to do in Bible college. I'm going to start with the Scripture and use it as a springboard to go everywhere else through the Scriptures. So, but this is a wonderful, wonderful Psalm, Psalm 103. And it certainly does coincide. It certainly does kind of match up with the message I want to bring you today. So Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. That means he forgives all of our sins before we came to accept him as our Savior, and the blood of Jesus Christ goes on, keeps on cleansing us from sin all through our Christian life. He heals all of our diseases. He redeems our life from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things. Wouldn't this be wonderful? It was true physically, eh? So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Anyway, that's a good thought. We know the best is yet to come if we're Christians. We haven't seen anything yet. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word, and I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us along the theme that you've given me today to share on abounding in you. So bless your word to each heart. Bring people to you that haven't yet asked you into their heart today through this message and by your Spirit. And encourage your people today, I pray, as I have the privilege to share your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So, abound. That's the word you see there in the bulletin. But I'm going to add to that, briefly, two other forms of that word. Abound, abounded, and abounding. And I just want to say that a couple of months ago, I came to the end of my chapter-by-chapter reading of the New Testament as I concluded my reading of the book of the Revelation. Now, I've been following an almost everyday plan for a number of years of alternating an Old Testament chapter with a New Testament chapter. One day it's Old Testament, the next it will be New Testament. Now, even at a chapter a day, alternating an Old Testament and New Testament chapter, a person can read through the whole Bible every 2 or 3 years. So there you go. If you've never read through the whole Bible, that's one way you can do it. Now, seeing as God has given to us his book for his glory and for our benefit, let me ask you a question today. Do you not think that we should be reading it ourselves? Such a valuable book. Now, recently, a TV preacher I watch occasionally said it's good to read the Bible, God's Word, in the areas that we need the most help in ourselves. And I thought, that's a good thought, a good thought. Now, this is easy to do in the day in which we live. With the internet, at most of our fingertips, you just type in the topic and away you go. Let me just illustrate it this way. I don't know if many of you are baseball fans, but we're gearing up for the baseball season and surely the Blue Jays are going to win the World Series. They've got some rebuilding to do, I think, but all the best to them. It's almost baseball season. And if you are a pitcher in baseball, you know that you have to mix up your pitches. Because if you've only got one pitch or two, those batters will know what's coming. And they'll guess, and you'll be in big trouble. The thought came to me along that line, John, why don't you go through the concordance in the back of your David Jeremiah study Bible and look at the topics and verses for each reference listed there? That was an interesting thought. And that's what I've been doing. I've been doing that the last couple of months, and it's been refreshing and a blessing to key in on words like abide, words like abundant, words like able, words like abominations. No, maybe not exactly that one. But you can see I haven't got out of the A's yet. I've got a long ways to go. But that's kind of mixing up the pitches, a different approach to getting into the word. So our biblical root word today is going to be abound. And then we'll look, as I've said already briefly, at the word abounded and the word abounding. What a great word this is. So come with me through some scripture verses which contain this or these wonderful words. First of all, the word abound. Now, negatively speaking, Jesus and Paul mention, first of all, Jesus in Matthew 24 and verse 12, that in the end times, as we come closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is clearly taught in the scriptures, lawlessness will abound. Now, that is not a nice thought. Paul asks the question in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, shall we then sin that grace might abound? And how does he answer that question? Certainly not. This is not the way to go. So there we have a word about living our Christian life seriously and conscientiously. Now, positively speaking, looking at this word abound, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 15 that grace spread through many Christians will cause thanksgiving to abound. Now, if we go about spreading the grace of the Lord and the love of the Lord wherever we go, and all of us do it more and more, there's going to be, Paul says, a whole lot more thankful people. That are going to come into our realm that we rub shoulders with people in. So that's a good word. Spread the grace of the Lord around so that thanksgiving will abound in other people's lives. Be a grace giver to other people. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8 tells us that God is able to make all grace abound in us and to us, no matter how crummy our circumstances get to be from time to time. And is there anybody here that just goes through life without any crummy circumstances? Then you better check, if you say yes, you better check that part of the Bible that talks about maybe telling a little fib or something. We all go through tough and challenging times in our lives. In Philippians 4 and verse 12, Paul says, and I love this verse, I love all these verses, but Paul says in Philippians 4 verse 12, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know how to abound. Now, to abound is way more fun than being abased. But God's love and grace are still ours when we're going through those times of our life when we are abased, when we are down and we are out for a while, when we go through times of tribulation and testing. Jesus said in John 16 and verse 3, in this world you will have tribulation and testing, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, and we can be overcomers through him. We can abound with his help, even in those bad circumstances. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul teaches us there that it's possible And listen to this, folks. It's possible. I've got to listen to it too. It is possible to abound more and more. The exact words of the verse. So be encouraged by statements like that, because they remind us that there is always hope in our God. There's always hope that He's going to bring us through and bring us out and bring us up. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, Peter says that when we abound in these following things, in diligence, in faith, in knowledge, in self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, we will not be barren. We will not be empty, in other words, spiritually, or unfruitful in our faith walk. In fact, our lives will be a blessing to those around us when we abound in those qualities. And that's kind of a list like Paul's list of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. That's Peter's corresponding list. Wonderful things to strive for. And the Lord can help us develop those things in our lives. We abound in those things. We will be abounding spiritually within ourselves, and the people around us that we rub shoulders with will also be blessed. So, abound. What a great word that is. And as I looked up the various references in my current study model that I'm following, I was blessed as I looked them up. Now, the word abounded. In one verse, and there's only one verse I'm going to share with you on this word abounded, Romans 5 and 20, we have both the negative and the positive when we think about this word. As we come to the communion table today, I want to ask you this. Aren't you glad for the place where it was made possible for your sins and mine to be dealt with once and for all, and for you and I to receive forgiveness full and free? For where sin abounded, Paul says, grace did much more abound. That's what I'm thinking of as I come to this table today. The abounding grace of the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to know that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all the unrighteousness we've ever done in our life? Total forgiveness. If I'd read on in Psalm 103, we would have come to verse 12. Let me see if I'm correct there. Yes, I think I am. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. I will never forget the night when I heard that message loud and clear that my sins could be forgiven, and I knew I had quite a few, even as a teenager, and I just confessed them to the Lord and asked Jesus to come into my life, and He's made the difference in my life ever since. So Paul says in Romans 5 and 20, where sin abounded, grace much more abounds. Do you know what that means? That means you may be sitting there today and you may be thinking, well, that's okay for somebody else, but my sins have been so bad and my life has been so messed up and I've made it that way that God can't forgive me. But what does the verse say? Where sin abounded, God's grace, God's riches at Christ's expense abound more and more. The forgiveness is there for everyone that will turn to Jesus. That's why He allowed His body to be broken on the cross and His blood to be shed, for our sins to be totally forgiven. And as we come to that thought in Romans 5 and 20, I think of the words of the hymn that we're going to sing as we come to the communion table at Calvary today. I'm not going to read them all, but I want to read the first verse and the chorus, and then you'll get the message as we sing the rest of the verses. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. But mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. Do you hear that? Multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. Where? At Calvary, where Jesus died for me, that I might know his great salvation. Wow. Brings us to the last form of the word abounding, abounding. John Bunyan, persecuted 1630s era preacher, Christian, wrote, if you can believe it, 60 books in his lifetime. And his most famous book was a book that my father-in-law gave me to read after I first came to the Lord Jesus and gave my heart to Jesus. He said to me, John, you read this book, you'll see yourself in it, and it'll give you a great start. He wasn't my father-in-law at the time. He became my father-in-law. But he gave me this book. I still have it on my shelf. He said, read this book. And the book was Pilgrim's Progress. But John Bunyan also wrote another book amongst his 60 books or so. And that book was entitled Grace Abounding to Me, the Chief of Sinners. Wow. To me, the number one sinner. That's the way God wants us to see ourselves, as the number one sinner. And he wants us to see that his grace can abound, his forgiveness can abound in our lives. And he wrote that book, John Bunyan did, because he knew that he owed his life. He owed his salvation. He owed his forgiveness. He owed his eternal life to Christ and what Christ had done. This should be, I think, each of our theme ideas in each of our lives as Christians. I know it's mine. So I conclude with two references to abounding from God's word today. First of all, if we'd read a little further in Psalm 103, we would have come to verse 8, where it says this, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy." Perhaps the greatest of psalms that enumerates the multiplied blessings that are ours in Christ or can be ours in Christ is what is said in that verse 8. The Lord is merciful. The Lord is gracious. He's slow to anger. He abounds in mercy. He's limitless in mercy. So I issue an invitation today. And there are going to be some good people that are going to be available to you at the front of the church today. If this is your day to give your heart to Jesus and ask Jesus to come in, they'll pray with you. They'll encourage you. They'll show you some Bible verses that'll give you a good start in your Christian life. I urge you to come to Christ today if you haven't. You know, the gospel says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God, even to as many as would only believe on his name. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life and know that they're going to heaven beyond a doubt. Jesus issued the invitation. He issues it today, Revelation 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. I stand at your heart's door and I knock. If anyone will open the door and ask me to come in, I will come in to their heart and life, and I'll sup with them and they with me, fellowship with them and they with me. So come to Christ today if you haven't. Ask him into your heart to be your Savior, to be your Lord. And Christians who are here today, and I know that that is most of us, take this great word with you today from this place in the Scripture, 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, where Paul said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know what that means? Keep on keeping on. The best is yet to come. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for these wonderful words from your scripture today. Thank you that most of all we can know that you are abounding in grace and mercy towards us. That's what brought us to you in the first place, for the forgiveness, for the life change, the new direction and purpose and hope for the future that only you can give. I pray that you would give that to each person who may be here today that's not yet asked you into their heart and life. May they do that today and know your ability to begin to help them in their life and to change their life from this day forward. And as we come around the communion table, Lord, just now, we pray that you would make us thankful for your wonderful, abounding grace. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.